Well, it looks like the trade war with Canada might be delayed. That's according to Al Jazeera, which I know I rarely quote, and several other publications. Apparently, after a phone call between US President Donald Trump and Canadian Prime Minister, for now, Trudeau, the American side opted to delay the implementation of Trump's proposed 25% tariffs on all Canadian goods after the Canadian government promised to cooperate more fully on border security. Now, to be clear, the Canadians are already caving to Trump because Ottawa understands fully that a trade war with the United States would turn Canada into a third world country. Popular Twitter user, one of the popular Twitter users has shared the findings of a recent KPMG survey on his Twitter page. According to KPMG, almost half of Canadian businesses are now planning to shift investments or production to the United States in response to President Trump's tariffs. Additionally, 60% said they'll now take a look to make business acquisitions in the US and are bracing for a recession in Canada. According to them, the tariffs are a wake-up call. Canadian business owners are frustrated with their own government, which they see as, indifferent to their suffering. Here's one Canadian businessman telling us how 80% of his business is done in America and what he'll have to do to survive.
If these tariffs come in and they look like they're going to stay, we pretty well have two options. We'll either sell to a U.S. company and there's lots of interest, or we'll look at moving the business to the U.S.
Whatever happens with the tariffs over the next month, be sure that if they do go into place, the Canadian economy might not survive. And neither would Trudeau's government, by the way. And join us now is Chris Guy. He's the author of Just Say No, A Guide to Asserting Your Rights and Preserving Your Freedoms, and is based in Canada, though he's not there at the moment. And we won't disclose your location because I know you've made a lot of people mad for your outspoken remarks on freedom. And that's exactly why we like you. It's good to see you, Chris.
Always a pleasure. It's always a pleasure. This trade war is a disaster for Canada. It's a political power move for Trump, and I'll say it's for Trump, it's a brilliant move because he gets to posture like the big tough guy. He gets to threaten Canada, and Canada can talk big and bad, and we can impose so-called retaliatory tariffs dollar for dollar. But the reality is, just look at the numbers. Canada exports less to the States than the States imports from Canada. And not only that, we're talking Canada exporting to the States around $350 billion a year US, which for the United States is around 1.5% of their entire GDP. It's totally inconsequential. But the 500 billion equivalent Canadian that comes into Canada is almost 20 to 25% of Canada's GDP. So a trade war with Trump would not be in Canada's interest, definitely not in Colombia or Mexico's interest. And Trump made a good move by calling Canada's bluff because Trudeau, for all his bluster, he's going to have to give in to Trump's demands because it would be disastrous for our economy at a time where our economy is supposed to be recovering. We had in 2024 peak interest rates in June of 5.5%, and they've done multiple rate cuts June, July, September, November, December, and again now to now 3%. So we're expecting a recovery in our economy, and this would totally offset that. This would cause trouble in the housing market because a lot of the stuff that we import from the United States affects the housing market, like appliances, ceramic, structural steel. So yeah, Trump did a good move there with the trade war against Canada. Canada's going to have to give in. We don't have any choice. Mexico and Colombia can talk bad, but in reality, they're in the same position. But I think Trump went a little too far when he threatened the BRICS countries with 100% tariffs if they move away from the US dollar. And we need to talk about the US dollar because the so-called petrodollar is no longer really the world reserve currency anymore. If you look at the dollar for dollars, how much oil was traded all the way up into the 2010, 2015 range, it was almost 100% traded around the world in dollars. Now, if you look at last year, JP Morgan did a study. 20% of all the global oil trade was done in non-US dollars. So if the United States tries to do a trade war against BRICS, the combination of Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, Iran, and a few others, those economies already have a higher GDP than the US economy, and they represent a large percentage of the entire world population. That would be a big, huge mistake for Donald Trump and the United States. And not only would they respond with retaliatory tariffs, it would make every one of those countries start to de-dollarize, not just for oil, but for all the other commodities that they trade. And it would literally accelerate the destruction of the U.S. dollar. But the reality is the U.S. dollar is no longer the reserve currency, and it's only going to get worse and worse and worse. And as the debt keeps rising, $30+ trillion, more and more countries are going to be looking for alternative currencies.
So you don't even think Donald Trump can turn this around? You think it's inevitable that the U.S. continues to wane in dominance and influence as the reserve currency for petrol?
100%. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Even big countries like Russia still have over 50% of all of their exports exporting in U.S. dollars. So imagine they really, really, really wanted to, because Donald Trump says we're putting 100% tariffs on all the BRICS countries, which even NATO members like Turkey are now joining BRICS. So people have to realize that the balance of power is shifting. The United States had this world superpower status, and it wasn't just because of air superiority and technological superiority and military superiority. It was dollar superiority. The petrodollar enabled them to print endless money, and money is what wins wars. So the United States is in a position where they're going to lose power every year, one way or the other. The plan by Donald Trump to impose 100% tariffs on BRICS nations would accelerate that plan exponentially and ultimately hurt the United States and hurt the United States dollar at home and around the world. Guaranteed. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. And his people have the same info as me. So I think Donald Trump is bluffing on that idea with bluffing. BRICS. And he's just riding high on what he did to Canada. Because he can bully Canada, but you can't bully Russia, China, Brazil, India, et cetera, all together. It's just not going to happen.
I agree with you. I think he was bluffing there. I don't think most of his financial advisors would advise that. Though Donald Trump, you know, has in this presidency, he's been doing what he wants instead of what his advisors warn him he must do, which I really, really like. But I don't think Donald Trump understands all of this himself, right? So I don't think he would go that far. But as you said, Canada will capitulate. This is actually, before I let you go, let's play what Justin Trudeau did have to say in response to tariffs. Listen.
Principle of dollar for dollar matching tariffs. It's something that we are absolutely going to be looking at if that is how they move forward. The bottom line, as you say, is that import tariffs, like the 25% that President Trump is proposing, are actually paid or would be paid by American consumers. And if and when Canada needs to respond with equivalent tariffs on imports from the United States, those would be paid by Canadian consumers. That's why we will look, as we have in the past, at things that have replacements for Canadian consumers that wouldn't be tariffed.
Yeah, he sounds a little nervous there. And most Canadian analysts are actually saying what you're saying as well, that it'll cause massive recession. But just look at the body language here, okay? You don't have to hear the sound. You don't have to know the facts. If somebody asked you who's winning in this meeting, you can look and tell by the body language and Trudeau's prissy little sitting posture that Donald Trump is winning right here.
To be honest, the biggest takeaway from that video is I don't understand how Trudeau can even sit like that. But yeah, when you hear him when you hear him talk tough, it's really sad. He has the worst poker face. He has no leverage, and you can hear it in his voice. He has no conviction. Like he's probably the weakest world leader. Donald Trump would absolutely eat him for breakfast. But Donald Trump has to be careful, keeps making promises that he can't keep, like saying he was going to end the Ukraine-Russia war the day of his inauguration. Then it was 100 days after. Now it's 6 months after. So I'm still waiting for them to finish building the wall that Mexico was going to pay for, but instead it's not being paid for by Mexicans, it's being paid for by Americans, and at five times the cost that he said it was going to. So I have a lot of quips with Donald Trump. He said he's going to stop the wars in the Middle East, but he's giving Israel 2,000-pound bunker buster bombs, and he didn't stop their military aid or their foreign aid, and they've been bombing every single person around them, and they're not going to stop. So there's a lot of reservations I have with Donald Trump. He's done some good things, like getting out of the WHO. But I don't know. It's a mixed bag for me. I feel like he's.
I'm still on a high today because he locked the USAID employees out of the building. I feel, you know what, he bought himself some brownie points with me with locking that CIA money laundering operation out of the building. So, you know,
he really knows how to gain political points, and he really knows how to get to appeal to his base. Donald Trump is a world-class politician. I'll give him that.
Yeah, well, the USAID thing, I think, is we're going to learn so much more about the crimes they were committing. That is big, but we'll see. Things have been so much better. We were in such a dark, dark period. We're just so happy to see some light. As I know you can understand, being from Canada, Chris, it's so fun to talk to you. Thanks for joining us, Chris Guy. Not only
I don't know what it's like to see the light at the end of the tunnel in Canada, but I do know what it's like to be suffering in Canada and waiting and hoping to see some light sometime.
We'll pray for you, our friends to the north. Thanks.
Thank you, guys.